This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. Debate is already raging over Brian De Palma's new film, Redacted. He won the Best Director's Prize at the Venice Film Festival, but the early reviews have been decidedly mixed. The story is based on the rape and murder of a teenaged Iraqi girl in Samarra. The rest of her family was killed, too, by American soldiers last year. And in fact, as you will hear in the next few disturbing seconds, that rape scene plays like a horror flick. The soldiers are out-and-out psychopaths. The film pushes the limits, then goes right over the top.
Oh, you ready? You ready for the ride of your life, bitch? Shut the f*** up! Don't you make a sound! Give it to her!
Redacted is ingeniously constructed. The narrative is conveyed through a soldier's video journal, TV news reports, insurgent website videos, surveillance camera footage, excerpts from a French documentary, YouTube clips, all fabricated but convincingly realistic. The one part that is not faked comes at the end. Photographs of actual dead, injured, or traumatized Iraqis. The eyes of the people in those photos are obscured. On Monday, at the film festival press conference, De Palma blamed that redaction on the film's financier, Mark Cuban. And that prompted a defense from the floor by Eamon Bowles, the president of Magnolia Pictures, who said that no one had signed releases for the pictures, and if anyone complained, the producers could be sued.
Listen, I really like the film. I appreciate it greatly. However, it is a legal issue. You cannot have
a specious legal issue.
It's not specious. There would be no legal recourse if someone put a case in. No legal recourse whatsoever.
The very last shot is not real. It's a gruesome imagining of the corpse of the young girl. De Palma told the Village Voice that he saw nothing wrong with distorting reality in pursuit of what he called a greater truth. We asked him why he thought his producers chose to obscure the real faces of the dead.
They, I think, hide behind legalities, stating that they would have to get more insurance because there's something that if a relative of one of the victims in the movie sees themselves or sees a victim from their family and gets extremely upset, they can sue you. I mean, it has never happened as far as I know in terms of war photographs. You don't get releases for war photographs. What I found unusual about the whole situation was that they had vetted everything in the script. They knew we were using real photographs. If this was always a problem, they could have told me and I could have recreated them. So I think somebody actually looked at the photos and got extremely upset and said, my God, we can't put this on the screen. Then they hid behind the insurance company.
The lines over the eyes of the Iraqis in those images are squiggles very similar to the ones at the very beginning of the film to show redaction. Did you design those bars, those squiggles?
No, I had nothing to do with it. I refused to have anything to do with that. I said, if you're going to redact these photographs, you do it so the world can see you eradicating the suffering faces on these people.
How are you getting along with Mark Cuban these days?
Well, Mark Cuban is a man that doesn't return phone calls.
If you can't get those black bars expunged, will you be staging your own photos or will you leave it as it is?
Well, it's too late now. The movie's been in festivals all over the world. And I find it kind of ironic. I mean, the fact that Redacted is redacted, you know, there's something about it. Because the whole idea of this came from the fact that, you know, in Vietnam, we saw the photos. We saw our soldiers hurt and wounded. And we got very disturbed by those photos. And the genius of the architects of this war is that there are no photos.
Well, there are. They're all over the internet. You
yes,
have some of them
but
in
they're
your
not,
film.
Not in the mainstream media. I can't get them on a big screen. And that always leads me. When I don't see something and I have to go find it on the internet, I say, well, why aren't we seeing any pictures like this? Why aren't we seeing those famous pictures from Vietnam of the, you know, baby running down a street naked, crying out?
I don't disagree with the larger point. We have dealt with the issue of the whitewashing of the impact of this war on the program. I guess the question is, if you're going to fabricate everything else, Why mix the real pictures in and open up this can of worms?
I was forced to fabricate everything else because of our legalities. I can't use anything real because it's real. Doesn't that seem rather strange to you? You can put it on the radio. You can put it on your television stations. You can show it in your magazines, but I can't put it in a movie. Why is that?
Is it because of the difference in the genres, that yours is a drama, a dramatization, and these are ostensibly news reports?
My dear, it's all entertainment. Don't for a second think it's really news.
Brian De Palma, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Brian De Palma is the director of Redacted. And while one could argue vigorously the idea that all news is entertainment, the best legal argument supporting his case is that entertainment can contribute to the public's understanding of the world. That, according to James Boyle, a professor at Duke University and author of Bound by Law, Tales from the Public Domain.
Mr. De Palma would actually have a very good claim to fair use, that these are pictures are being used as a matter of commentary or criticism, even within the context of a fictional movie. Obviously, it's one that depicts and comments on real events. The more serious claim is the claim that the relatives of the dead Iraqis who are pictured or the injured Iraqis themselves might claim that these pictures infringe on their rights of privacy. So imagine someone taking a picture of you through the shower window or taking a picture of one of your loved ones who's dead after an automobile accident. And it's true that the courts have protected a right of privacy in some of those situations. But normally it has to be, the normal test is this outrageous to an average person to use this? The other part of the test is this a matter of legitimate public interest? And if it's a matter of legitimate public interest, then that right generally does not apply.
So if somebody takes a picture of me in the shower through the window, I can assure you that is of absolutely no public interest. Therefore, I would have a good case.
But
if I were the victim of some terrible crime and a picture was caught of me that I didn't want in the newspaper or even in a dramatization of the event, my case would be less good.
That's exactly right. And the sort of really strong example would be something where the images of the dead or the injured are themselves the matter of public debate. So it's not just a matter of sort of prurient interest in looking at autopsy photographs, which has often been a subject of litigation, but it's actually something where the main commentary about the event demands these photos. And of course, there is a substantial amount of criticism of current coverage of the Iraq War that says that the stuff that appears in mainstream media is amazingly censored, self-censored, that is, by the people who are photographing and by the newspapers and by the TV stations, much more censored than, for example, the pictures of the Vietnam War. So to the extent that that is part of the public debate about the Iraq War, the claim that we're not seeing the true pain, the true suffering that's going on, both for Iraqis and American soldiers, then I think Mr. De Palma's claim would be, that's what I'm showing here. I'm showing that this is real, that these are real people who bleed, who are in pain, and I've put this in a fictional film precisely to make that point, to shock you and make you think, my God, it's not just fiction, it's reality.
I'm still puzzled about the kind of suit that De Palma's producers worry could be brought in this case. I mean, how would the plaintiffs, the victims or families of the victims in the photos, frame their argument?
People who would say that there is a cause of action here, Mr. De Palma could be sued, would point out that the families of the astronauts on the Challenger space shuttle were able to prevent the disclosure of their audio tapes of their last seconds, or that President Kennedy's family was able to prevent the disclosure of the autopsy photographs of him.
These were huge news stories. Why were they protected?
Well, I think the argument was that hearing the pain and confusion and fear of people who were about to die adds nothing to the political debate.
But isn't that the point of these photographs in De Palma's case? Misery, fear, mayhem, horror, the very things that you say have been censored about this war.
How can you, on the one hand,
prevent that stuff on that basis and then permit it on the very same basis?
If the whole NPR thing doesn't work out, Brooke, you have a career as a lawyer. I would say that the answer there is that we knew that these people, that the astronauts in the space shuttle, we knew that they died. Obviously, it was an awful set of moments. I think the answer here is that the pain of the Iraqis has not been making it to our screens, has not been making it to our newspapers. I think the claim here, Mr. De Palma is saying, is this is actually a necessary political comment.
Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
James Boyle is a professor at Duke University and co-author of Bound by Law, a comic book about fair use and documentary film.